Hey, everybody, welcome to the October episode of Making Progress. We're going to walk through what's in our latest issue of the Baptist Progress, and we're going to talk about all things that's happening, what God's doing in BMA life around the BMA of Texas. Today's episode, sponsored by the BMA of Texas Missions Department, we're going to be talking about changes that are happening in the Baptist Progress. We're also going to be talking about primarily what's going on in our upcoming state meeting. And also, we're going to get a glimpse into the person that we're honoring with our United Thanksgiving offering this year, Miss Sandra Crank. And so it's going to be a good episode. And so welcome to the October issue. And so we're going to get started. But I'm Chris Driver. I am your host today. But with me today, we've got a couple of good guests here. So as always, I'm going to start with the guy on my left, and that is the incomparable Heath Mitchell. He is our missions director, but also, man, our resident expert on all things BMA. So if I have a question, I always turn to this guy.
Before we move on, will you define that word so that I know if that was good or
incomparable,
bad?
Incomparable, man. You can't compare to
No comparison.
There's only one.
There is only one. All right. And then, so on my right today, special guest, Elvis is in the building. So,
thank you very much.
So Elvis Garcia, our BMA of Texas Hispanic coordinator. And so, man, we're excited to have you join us today. I guess just let me kind of piggyback off of that. So how often do you get those Elvis jokes?
Oh, my Lord. All the time.
All the time?
All the time.
Every time you walk into a room, Elvis is in the room.
Yes. They will say, if I leave, Elvis is leaving the building. You know, he's left the building, you know. So all the time.
Yeah. And you just have to play along with Fuggy, like Verma.
Yeah, I have to. I'm going to change my name.
Work on your
sooner or later.
Got to raise the lip a little bit.
So was your mom and dad a fan?
My dad actually was some kind of a fan of Elvis Presley in Guatemala.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so, a little bit. It's not... Well, he's known everywhere, but not that much in Guatemala. And so,
The question is, are you an Elvis fan?
Not really. A little bit, you know, a little bit, yes.
But Elvis Garcia fan.
Exactly, yes.
He's just competition.
Exactly. Yes.
I love it, man. So, all right, man, well, let's get started. And so, we're going to jump to the second page. So, in this October issue, and just kind of address the elephant in the room, and that is my resignation at the BMA of Texas, you know, as far as the Baptist Progress goes. And so just to kind of let everybody know what God has been doing in my life. And, you know, it is an amazing opportunity to have been part of this transition, to have helped kind of maybe move forward, the progress forward a little bit in, you know, kind of some really important areas, I think. And I hope that's what it is. But over the last month or so, God has just made it so very clear to me that, you know, my primary calling is and will be probably for the rest of my life planting churches in West Texas. And so it is what God's called me to do. And as much as I loved being a part of such an important ministry in the BMA, something that you know, I get to tell the stories of you know, things that God is doing across the BMA, being able to produce something that's so important to the ministries of the BMA, it was really just something that became a real burden and ultimately a distraction to God's primary call in my life, and that is planting churches in West Texas. And so it was with a heavy heart that I had to just, you know, kind of come and just say, listen, I can't do it anymore. And so, but the good thing is, you know, in this process, we've developed a team. And what I love about this, I actually think that this is going to be ultimately better for the progress in bringing the people that are already on the team and bringing some more in that will be able to utilize their giftedness in special ways. And so why don't you just let everybody know who we brought in to kind of fill these roles?
Yeah, so, you know, Chris is really, there are kind of two team members who are going to be kind of replacing this role of team lead editor, and we're really just going to be separating those two titles. And so team as it exists right now has been, you know, not only Chris, but Lisa, who's been working with, you know, with subscriptions and ads, Morgan, who's been working with kind of the systems and the behind the scene details, Elvis, who's been working with video production and the work on our podcast and the capture of this, Abby, who's been handling our graphic design. And so, you know, we're basically going to expand that team by one more. The decision is that we just had a ready-made person within the system who's really, since they've been here, been made for more.
Yeah.
In Morgan Standifer, who has strong administrative skills, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, the good ability to just network and to work with people in this way. So we've made the decision to take to elevate Morgan to that team lead position, and now we're in the process of hiring what will be a very part-time editor whose role is really just to edit and piece together the newspaper.
Yes.
The newspaper itself this month, and so we're excited about that position and that role and what that person is going to bring mm-hmm. to the team as well when they come. But we are pleased to announce that Morgan is mm-hmm. is taking on this piece of team lead. Morgan is a BMA girl,
mm-hmm.
very known here in the BMA. Grew up in Pathway Baptist here in Waxahachie. Worked at Daniel Springs for many years as just a volunteer student who became, you know, just kind of a team lead who really became over the programming and the students and the activities at Daniel Springs. And so many of you know her from there. She's been working here in the mission office for a year and a half now, yeah. and is also at First Baptist Church Blooming Grove, overseeing their college ministry there. And so we're pleased to have Morgan step into this.
I think it's a fantastic, I mean, you know, I think the world over, I think she's amazingly talented, gifted, especially, like you said, in administration. That's one thing that, you know, in doing this for the last few months, really, that, I mean, that is such a big piece of this puzzle for the Baptist Progress, is that administrative piece. And so to be able to dedicate time to that, you know, to be able to work out all the details that go into, because it is there's a lot of moving parts you know, this. And we've added more to this.
That is,
you know, what makes this, you know, such an important piece of the leadership part here, is because, I mean, there's just so many details that go into this, and me being so far away was just not conducive to this. So her being right here, being in the office, I think this is going to be a fantastic hire here and move it forward. I'll get to still be able to write stories,
yes.
so I'm super excited about that.
Still.
I get to be able to kind of continue to do this, so to be part of the Progress team, but be able to just, you know, all of the heavy administrative pieces,
yes.
to be able to let her do that, and then the putting together of the Progress. So I'm excited, and again, I'm sorry if I were let anybody down, but I mean, that certainly wasn't my desire. But
Chris, we thank you. This transition couldn't happen without you. We've built out some things that we're excited about and we're proud of in the Baptist Progress, and thank you for your help with that. I mean, this podcast is something that man, you have built out and established along with the new scrollable form. E-news.
Yes.
We're very, very pleased with that. And man, that has happened behind the scenes, but not from a little work, has it?
No.
You and I didn't mention a while ago on our team, Justin Owens, who is over the media side and who is building out that E-news piece and is also building out, also posting podcasts and connecting all of that. And so, man, we're thankful for Justin, but him and he have worked hand in hand, you know, pulling that together. Along with, I have loved the theme additions to the Baptist Progress. The fact that we've just been building out interest stories and celebrating around theme, and we're hoping for more of that.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. So, I'm thankful for the chance to do this, and you know, just getting able to work with Elvis all the time.
Yes.
but no, it is, it's good. It's going to be good. I'm excited about that. And so yes. Let's just jump back into the heart of this. And that's, you know, the state meeting. It's coming up, you know, ready or not, here we come. And yes. So we're looking at really just page one, just really here in the heart of our president, Michael Poole, you know, getting us to tell us the theme for this year. One heart, coming out of Acts 4:32, and so looking forward to that.
I am too.
Looks like a busy schedule.
I think in a season that is so divided, in a culture that is so divided, in a Christian culture, watching even within denominations the splintering and the camping that takes place, to remember and be challenged afresh that. You know, of our commonality in Christ Jesus, our unity and our mutual love. I just appreciate that. I mean, that just came straight out of Michael's heart and burden this year. Yes. And I think it's a wonderful theme for us to celebrate and on our 125th. And I just want to celebrate that this has been the BMA and that all three of us have known. It's been our season to see a loving and unified BMA of Texas that practices the Acts 13 kind of thinking the best and you know, and embracing and trusting and bearing together, you know, with one another. Man, that has been our BMA of Texas, our BMA of Texas culture for so long. We're thankful for that.
Yeah.
But never want to take that for granted, because it is based in our walk with Christ, our heart for Christ, and the unity we have in that.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, just not to dive too deep into it, but you know, the associational work affords that, you know, because you know, the voice of every church matters.
That's
and
right.
I love that about being Associational Baptists is that, you know, every church has an equal voice. Every, you know, and every church matters to the direction that we go. And I think, you know, that sense of you know, commonality and unity and equality is something that I think, you know, puts us all, no matter how many we're running, we all get a chance to just have a voice
That's
in
true.
Who we are, and love each other, see each other as equals, and to just love one another as equals.
And just to add to that, you know, and something that I was a big surprise since we moved here to Texas is, you know, that the whole meeting is mostly translated. You know, we have the main sessions, you know, we have workshops in Spanish, and so, which is really a big blessing, you know, and it's really just here in Texas, really, you know, it happened. So all of our Hispanic pastors, you know, the ones who doesn't speak good English can understand, or their wives or people who come. So that's just to add to what you were saying, you know, everybody feel welcome.
Yes.
And so so that's good, you know.
That's good. I've been blown away for years at our Hispanic participation.
Yes.
These churches just value, I think, their participation and their voice in the BMA. And because of the live translation, they're able to really participate in the votes and the actions of the BMA. And I see that from the Hispanic perspective. I see it from the church planter perspective, where as soon as these churches organize, well, then they get a voice, and they get to participate in a BMA call. So, no, that's very real. It really is. We're heading into this year's meeting. Again, some highlights of this state meeting are two important constitutional changes will happen early. We're going to get to have a celebration dinner at the TBHC campus.
Yes,
provided for us at the meeting. We're going to celebrate the BMA of Texas' 125th anniversary at the meeting and really look back while we celebrate the current. Elvis, I know. Even though we do unify the Spanish speakers and in participation of our meeting, you guys do some breakouts and some leadership training. So what else is going to happen in Spanish?
Yeah, no, we're going to have a great great breakouts, and so we have a couple of guys who have served with us in a lot of discipleship and start serving actually, and so we'll have a very good time. Very based on, again, establishing people in discipleship. And so, and we'll have, you know, a lot of fun. I don't know if you know, we're going to eat together or go and eat some tacos somewhere. But, you know, we'll, you know, it's going to be very good. And again, it gives us a time also for conversation in yes. Spanish and, you know, a cultural. And just to add that to the celebration, you know, for us it's remarkable, you know, 125th. Really, in at least in Guatemala and Latin America, there's not a lot of old Christian churches. Mm-hmm. You know, Catholicism has been there forever, but at least in Guatemala, the first Baptist churches were established like in the 50s. You know, okay. And so so every time you see an old church or a group who is 125 years old, your mind is blowing. You know, yeah. Because it's like wow. You know, and. You know, some denominations were not even born, you
yeah,
know,
right,
and the Mi'kmaq was already sending missionaries.
Yep,
and so that also give you a sense of you know, of proud, you know, yeah, so it's for me, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it is. And I, you know, to that, in the very first meeting in 1901, missionaries were sent out into so many different groups, but among those were Tejano, Spanish-speaking Texans, and missionaries were sent to Mexico in that first meeting. Mm. And so to know that, man, Spanish engagement is part of the historic heartbeat of Texas missions.
Yeah.
It's always been there.
Oh yeah,
always
been
there.
And it's healthy now, man.
I love
our planter retreat, which is coming up, you know, next year again. I love that time of getting together with our planters and to see, you know, what God is doing, you know, even now. I mean, it's so much fun, and there's so much fun, man.
Yes,
well, just to, and
so
just,
energized.
Just this year, for the second year, celebrate two Hispanic mm-hmm. churches that finished up.
Absolutely,
yeah. Organized and support. So amazing. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
God is working.
Hey, one other reason you'd want to come to the state meeting is our lean into family issues this year with a partnership with TBHC. So at the meeting, there's going to be breakouts on faithful gospel engagement with those trapped mm-hmm. in sexual sin, the LGBT lifestyle. Mm-hmm. How your church can support kinship caregivers mm-hmm. with just this understanding that every church is already fostering mm-hmm. because in every yes. BMA church you find grandparents who mm-hmm. are raising their grandkids
yes. mm-hmm.
or family members who are raising family members through the foster care system. They're doing so with no support. And so how can a church get behind and care
yes.
for those kinship relationships? I think that is a beautiful breakout that I hope that no one misses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leadership conference.
Yes.
Chris,
yes.
what all's happening at the leadership
yeah,
conference?
Yeah, Jason and I in particular, Jason's got some things he wants to share along those lines about how to kind of equip pastors to be prepared more for those relationships that are already there in their churches, how they can, even how the, you know, the Texas Hope for Children can come alongside them in training and equipping even some of their people for those, maybe Sunday school teachers in particular, you know, how do they deal with trauma when it comes into, you know, those are things that sometimes I think as pastors we don't think about that, you know, we have people already going through a lot of these things, and they're, you know, it may not be to the level of removing children or whatever, but some of these kids are coming in. How does that Sunday school, you know, teacher deal with that, a child that's going through some of these difficulties? And so I think that's the beautiful part of what, you know, Jason's going to be talking about during that time, is just really helping equip the leadership of churches to be prepared for you know, what we're seeing in society, what is happening, especially what's happening with our children. And also one of his big heartbeats is not to neglect the parents themselves of some of these kids that have gone through this, that we don't throw them away, that God has called us to love and to pray for and to share the gospel with even those parents who are having their rights removed, who aren't necessarily what we would call good parents, but that ultimately God is the God of reconciliation, that God would desire for ultimately that person to come to Christ, to have their life transformed and to be the parent that they were called to be. And I get to participate and tell a little bit of my story and my struggle coming up, and and how those pieces, a lot of those were missing in my life, and you know, just the difference that we can make in you know, seeing people come to Christ, and again, not throwing away the parents either. I mean, I know there's lots of things that happen, and but ultimately, we serve a God that can save anybody, and Amen. So we want to remember that and not just push that away. So as hard as that is, sometimes you know, when we think about children, what they go through, that God, you know, loves the parent too. And so I think that's going to be a powerful, powerful time. So I hope everybody will want to come and engage in that.
For all of the reasons shared and for the good of each local church, it's just, man, if there was ever a year, participate in the BMA yes. Texas meeting.
Yes.
And come and participate.
Yeah, it's going to be a great meeting, and I hope everybody will come. Maybe if you haven't been in a while, man, let's make the journey. Come over here, see what you're missing. But also, I think you're going to walk away with some valuable tools, be blessed, and experience a little bit of that unity that we talked about.
Amen.
And I think that's the big part, is to know that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that's so important for our folks to see and understand and know. And so, all right, so moving on. So as you go through there, there's lots of reports in our issue this time, and so I know those sometimes we kind of glaze through there, but again, we want to be good stewards. Every department wants to be a good steward over what God has entrusted to that department, and every leader and director. And so we want to be transparent in everything. So there's budgets in there. Yeah. I know there are lots of numbers, but I think as good stewards and associational work, that we need to take the time to look through that and you know, be accountable and hold others accountable, but also to check out the recommendations. I think that each one has some really powerful recommendations that we want to be aware of.
There's also two constitutional changes in there that you're going to want to be aware of. But yeah, from all the departments, their recommendations, their budgets, it is our heart. I mean, the top of the BMA pyramid is each local church.
Yes.
You know, and so, man, we just want to always be careful that we answer back to and provide to. And so each of these things will be the topics of the BMA of Texas meeting. And so I want you to have the chance as a church to look over that ahead of time.
Absolutely. And they're in there, so take a look at it. But really at the heart of our issue this time is the communique, in a beautiful communique this time, celebrating our 125th, kind of like a old retro style format. So I think you're going to enjoy that. But also in there is kind of the reports, summary reports from our directors. Mm-hmm. And so let's kind of just walk through a little bit of that, some highlights from what our directors have to say. And so I guess we'll just kick it off with missions. You know, that's we're all part of that, and so let's
start. Yes.
Yeah, in our format every year, these reports are just an annual look and an annual word back to churches, and they carry extra heavy weight because they actually go in the minute book for the BMA of Texas. And so as someone who spends a lot of time going back through past minute books, looking for answers, I just know that that these reports become mile markers. They become you know, points of record and really a voice of the BMA of Texas, backwards and forwards. And so this year's reports, we asked everyone to take a kind of historic look at their department, and also speak to the present. And so, you know, the first of those is Texas missions, and man, you'll find in that mission report that in 1901, at the first BMA of Texas meeting, there was no discussion about a missions department. It was a given. Yeah. There was no debate. There was no, I mean, it was just this new association was going to be about missions. And they set out to do that. And in that first meeting in 1901, and especially, you know, if you look at those first couple of years, man, there was aggressive engagement in Texas missions. And, you know, in the first 10 years, they expanded into Mexico. They expanded into Portugal from the BMA of Texas. But in those first years, I mean, there was engagement in English settlements. There was engagement in Tejano settlements and Spanish-speaking Texans, German immigrants, Greek immigrants, Czechoslovakian immigrants. And so man, I just was so surprised at how much our beginnings look like our present.
Amen.
You know, for us to be engaging people groups in so many ways here in Texas, and then to find historically that 125 years ago, we were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were trying to reach Texans with the gospel through disciple making and church planting, and we're doing that among people groups of different nationalities, speaking different languages.
To your point is, I mean, still happening today, right?
Yeah.
That was something we talk about. Think about all the guys that we get to work with, you know, in missionary care, right?
So, I mean, you know, it's amazing again the diversity here in Texas. You know, you know, guys from parts of Africa, India, you know, China. So, you know, we have big conversations about Garifuna groups, which is large in Houston, you know.
Yeah, and that has been so surprising. Garifuna groups are, what countries are they from?
You know, they're from an island in the Caribbean, but they were moved to Honduras.
Okay.
So they're mainly based on Honduras. And a little bit of part of Guatemala, but mainly from Honduras. And so, but they have their own language, culture, because they were a group, you know, from Africa. And so, it's a huge population in Houston.
But
so
they speak Spanish, right?
They speak Spanish, but they speak also Garifuna.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And,
it's its own language.
They have their own language and their own Bible, actually. And, you know, BMA, through one of our missionaries, was able to help in the translation years ago of the New Testament in Garifuna.
Awesome.
And, you know, even to speak to those differences, you know, historically there was the Tejano people they were engaging, which were you know, Spanish and Indian descent Texans who were speaking Spanish. But man, that is not the story today. When we say Spanish, we have common language, but that's where it ends, right? Because we're engaging Spanish-speaking people from so many different countries and cultures. It's just very different, isn't it?
You know, I remember, you know, last elections, you know, I read an article based on, like, how much diversity is even among Spanish-speaking people. You know, again, culture, languages, food. So sometimes, you know, people try to put them all together, and they're not really. You know, people from Central America, different Mexico, which is a big, big country. You know, it's almost a federation. You know, and then South Americans. You know, who came mainly from European settlements.
Yes.
Different. You know,
And the island people are different.
Oh yeah, and also the Caribbeans too. You know, so people from the Caribbean. So it's a big, big. We may all speak Spanish. And with all kind of different words, but the culture is very different. And so you cannot, you know, cut them the same way. You know, have to approach them differently. Culture, knowledge. And so, but, you know, thanks the Lord, BMA of Texas is trying to reach in those pockets, you know, so it's awesome.
Yes.
Well, this is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, that was our, I mean, that's our beginning, and that's our present, and looking at just the decades and the years, you know, of Texas missions, in those early years, just the westward expansion of Texas, you know, Chris and I have talked quite a bit about in West Texas, man, the beginning roots of so many of those early churches in the little small towns of West Texas were BMA connected.
Absolutely.
Because, man, in those early 1900s is when those churches were establishing across the West Texas farmland. Yeah. And so
I know Fifth Street Baptist in Leveland, it was the first church in Hockley City, which is what became Leveland, and that's that same story. I think Morton was the first one. The first missionary Morton was the first one in Morton, and so many of those. I mean, basically, the BMA settled West Texas, you know,
so amazing.
Spiritually, and so it's been really cool to go back and look over there and see how many of those churches actually have their those towns have their foundation in BMA. BMA was there to help. So
as that continued on through the 30s and 40s, the BMA also employed the evangelists who would partner with local associations and go into an area and hold brush arbor or revival meetings of some kind, extended revival meetings. And when enough people were saved and enough Christians were committed to be a part, they'd organize a new church in that community. So the church I grew up in Winnsboro is one of those, Walnut Street Baptist Church. And a lot of the BMA churches that are kind of town churches in a lot of East Texas were started that way.
In
revivals. And then you move into the 50s and 60s and post-war BMA. And man, the vast majority of our urban churches started in that season. In the 50s and 60s, there was this mass migration of rural people to the cities to take industrial jobs. And these people moved to the city and so many times organized BMA churches that were similar to the BMA churches that they'd been a part of rurally. And so, you know, I highlighted in the article, but Bethel Baptist Church in Dallas was one of those. Grace Temple Baptist Church in Arlington that were just big groups of small town people who moved to DFW and started those churches. We had such churches started throughout the Golden Triangle of Port Arthur, Beaumont, and Orange in that area. Mm. We had churches started across Houston that way, San Antonio that way, DFW that way. And it was a great season. These churches thrived. Mm-hmm. And then through the 70s and 80s, the BMA of Texas, like other BMA organizations, got into the land banking where they would go into suburban areas that were growing and they would buy property and they would build structures and plant churches in that way. And so many churches were started that way. I highlight in the article the church I got married in because my father-in-law was pastoring there, Pine Brook Baptist Church in Tyler. Is one of these churches that was started in Tyler in this way and has thrived and continues.
You know what's amazing about that? Even in some of those churches have closed, and we talk about all the time though that has been able to be fuel. You know that God doesn't waste anything, right? So
yes.
The selling of many of those properties have come to the missions department and other departments of the BMA during that time, you know, and they were in prime locations. And I mean, and so now God is using that to fuel and fund, you know, what his movement of churches now and what we're getting to be a part of. And so
that's
it's pretty amazing that God, you know, he's in the details, right? We serve a God who's the God of the details.
Yeah.
And so all of those things are now, coming full circle and he's not wasting any of it. So.
And to speak to the now, God's just continuing to blow us away. The Lord continues to use and bless the efforts of BMA of Texas and BMA Texas Missions. Right now, 20 church plants in support with 5 rolling off of support this last year, with 24 new churches established since 2016. Mm-hmm. The BMA of Texas is growing and God is just showing himself mighty and bringing glory to himself through his missional movement and the cooperation of churches. And so, man, we just celebrate that in missions.
Amen.
The thing I like about the article is the progression of, or the change on strategies, you know. I really like that when I was reading, like, you know, different approaches through time. You know, again, the message doesn't change.
No, absolutely.
But that really put me to think a lot in how much we have to continue to be culturally sensitive.
Oh my God,
that's good. They were using different, like, this evangelistic, mm-hmm. Efforts and then all that. And so we have to continue to try to understand. Sometimes it's hard in our time,
Absolutely.
But to reach younger generations, So I really like the article, the way it was progressive, and it put me to think, like, okay, so how we are right now, what's next?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. What's next? That's a great
methods can be flexible, but the mission doesn't change.
Yeah.
Theology doesn't change. The principles of Scripture don't change.
Absolutely.
We continue to adapt and adjust and engage culture with the gospel. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yes.
It's good stuff. So Jacksonville College, Dr. Erickson was able to put in his you know, report. And just really, again, I seem to say this every time, but I'm just so excited about what is happening at Jacksonville College and just the turnaround that has happened. And so we were just recently there. I mean, all three of you were able to preach it, you know, the rededication of the chapel, Buckner Chapel, and just the kids, the students that were all in there that flooded in there. Yes. And then there was a time, you know, after the worship and after the message, there was response time and kids coming down and prayed for, yes. you know, the faculty and staff so up good. There just praying with them. And I mean, it's just, I love it, man. I just yes. love what God is doing.
And to say that, man, that to see just ministry engagement alive and well, to see the school turning around.
Yeah.
And I think we're at a place where we can say, man, God's not through with Absolutely. Jacksonville College. you know, in a time when there was concern, you know, yes. just a few years ago.
Absolutely.
And Elvis can speak to that. I know he's a trustee yes. of Jacksonville College currently. But man, just in this article, the fact that the 4-year degree is kicked off
yeah.
with the commitment that more 4-year degrees are now coming, to know that the student population has jumped enormously from 191 students last year to 312 this year. I heard a great story about having to go borrow bunk beds from Daniel Springs yeah. so they could fit all of these students yeah. into the dormitories yeah. at Jacksonville College. It's wonderful to know that they're working on on vocational training tracks. To know, man, so much is coming. There's just great news steadily ahead of us at Jacksonville College. What would you
know? And you know, when I start being a trustee, man, those meetings were long and based on finances, and mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, you know, and there were, you know, a lot of cuttings and reorganization, selling our stuff, and honestly, you know, I was like thinking, man, Lord, you know, if this is going to move forward, you know, but. You know, Dr. Erickson has done a great, great job, and you know, again, all the trustees, and really, you know, it's a greatest. I don't know if I'm wrong, but it is the only Christian college right now, or is two still two?
Yeah.
In the state of Texas.
I believe I've heard that.
I hear that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's two. Colleges, Christian colleges, you know, that are in the state of Texas, and so you know, it has been amazing, and again, that record breaking on the students is really just a response from God, and so and so many. I continue to meet people that I admire that have went to Jacksonville College, you know, and so we're missionaries and pastors, and so you know, the Lord has used. This institution for many, many years. Yes. And so it needs to continue, yeah, you know, yes. with his legacy.
Well, that's what I've always loved about, you know, hearing guys like you guys that have these stories of friendships and fellowships and the beginning of your ministry really beginning there, and then just these connections that mm-hmm. you guys have throughout the year, and a love for the college, but a connection, you know, in a way that I'm hoping these young people will begin to have, that they'll have this fellowship and connection to other other folks that went to that college, and you know, this fraternity as it is, you know, that you look back and go, man, I remember our time there and pulling pranks on each other.
Those stories always come up, Chris.
always about the pranks. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, our BMA Loan Association. Yeah. And Brother Jerry is leading so well there at BMLA, and they're doing more than I've ever known of. Yes. I mean, I think this year 6 new loans. I think currently they have $7 million loaned yes. out, and man, I mean, just BMA people invest through the Loan Association, and those funds are made available. For BMA churches and BMA mission points to purchase property, to build, to remodel, to expand, real estate from our churches, and just man, that ministry is just matters so much and is so important to our mission movement. I mean, it really is. And so we're just so thankful for them.
I know it's been, I mean, we bought our, I've said this before on the cast, but that we were able to purchase our little building through the loan association.
And so it's remarkable for me as a Hispanic, you know, and at least in my world, I have, you know, when I start seeing, you know, not only BMA was, you know, a missionary agency to support mission projects, but also went to the extent to have this extra step. You know, there's a lot of mission organizations who does a great job, and, you know, the missionary gather people, and then you're on your own, you know. And goodness. So, again, organizations like BMLA be able to provide those loans. Man, it's just such a big help again. We have been able in other states to use the same system to purchase churches, and here in Texas too. You know, for Spanish churches, and mm-hmm. so honestly, they're not gonna be able to make it somewhere else. You know, if it was not because of of this program. Yeah. So it's amazing. You know.
And I believe in these last few years, three of our Hispanic churches have been, have been able to make their purchases with the help of the Loan Association. That's been
So it's awesome.
It's been very exciting. Yeah,
good stuff.
Yes.
And then we have obviously the Texas Baptist Home for Children, which is announcing a really big change for themselves. So
How about a name change?
Yeah,
how about for only the second time in their history. I think they were the Texas Baptist Orphanage for their first, I believe, 40 years. Yeah. And then they became Texas Baptist Home for Children, you know, really basing all home care right here in Waxahachie. And now with a proposed name change, which is their constitutional change that they're proposing to Texas Baptist Hope for Children, with an idea that they want to be totally transparent with churches, that they are partnering with churches now to place and support foster children in local churches, which means that into their future, less and less of the children will be placed at Waxahachie campus. Mm-hmm. More and more of those children will be placed in Christian families inside, you know, BMA churches, in local communities. I think it's a wonderful move, and I think that the name really describes who they are. Yeah. They are the hope for these kids in a broken foster care system in the United States. They are bringing the hope of Christ.
Yes.
And man, I love the stories of these kids meeting Jesus.
Absolutely.
And meeting Christian homes and loving churches that are supporting them. And they're working hard towards that transition with a goal to do more and more, to be able to care for more kids, to be able to, to be able to even to expand their adoption efforts because of it. Our current president just announced on Facebook this week the great news that a kid they've been fostering is they're going to get to adopt.
There you go.
And so, man, celebrate that with Brother Michael. Who is such an example right now in the way he has partnered with TBHC and the way he and his wife have been engaged in fostering and now adoption is so exciting. Yeah,
it is so good. You know, one letter is all they're changing. You think about it. So they're going from home to hope. That one letter though, it covers so much distance in the, you know, just the vision and reach and scope of what they're going to be able to do. I mean, and it just really helps better define exactly who they are. And again, to what we were talking about with our missions office, you know, just, you know, you got to change the method. I mean, things have changed over since the home. It's been going however many hundred, I mean, it's 115, I think, is it?
I believe it's 115.
I think it's their 115th. So in that 115 years, they've had, I mean, laws have changed. Even just, you know, a few years ago, laws changed about how many kids you could have in a group home. And so some of these, the ways that we've been able to do, you know, foster care as a group home, it changed. And so we have to, if we're going to continue to be hope and bring hope to these kids, things have to change. I mean, we have to adapt with, you know, the rules and the laws and the things that govern these things. But in order to make sure that these kids have a place where we can give them hope, I think this is a super amazing change.
Yes.
I mean, simple change, seems simple, but it just, I think it captures truly what the goal and vision and the mission is, still remains the same, you know, to bring hope to these kids, to make sure that they have a chance to be safe, to be, you know, to find forever homes in places where they're going to be able to hear the hope of Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, that's, I think they're going to do a great job with that. And so love to see that coming.
Right.
So a couple of pages over, man, we want to take time just to let everybody know that we've kind of made an adjustment as we've turned. So used to, we, you know, for our personnel and positions, you had two options. You go online and you fill out the form, and on there, when you wanted to place a, you know, that you needed a pastor, you needed a youth minister, whoever it is, that, you know, you go down, fill out the information, and then you have a question of, do I want to, you know, pay $15 and have it in the paper itself too, or just have it online? And so now we've just felt like this needs to be a service to our churches, a better service to them. And so it is no longer a charge for that. We're going to be putting those, if it goes on the website, it goes in the paper. And so we're going to make room for that and make sure that, you know, we get that information out. It's so critical for our churches to be able to reach, and, you know, the scope of that, to be able to reach as many people as possible to make that that news out, get that news out there so that they can fill those positions, and hopefully, preferably with BMA brothers that are going to come alongside and lead these positions. And so, you know, we get to celebrate that. So we're going to see, you're going to see in the paper this time, there's an extended, it's a little bit bigger than it has been in the past.
Jumped.
So
yeah.
So it's jumped. And so it's exciting, though. And so I know you know personally a lot of these churches. You work with them a lot more hand in hand. And you know, they need.
Looking over this list right now of positions, First Missionary Terrell is such a sweet, small body of believers there in Terrell. Brother Buddy Sadler has pastored there so wonderfully and faithfully.
Yes.
Just a wonderful, godly, and gentle man who is just at a point where he is ready to step aside, you know, there. And man, they're looking for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful facility that they just remodeled last year. It's a beautiful place, well located there in Terrell. Soda Baptist Church is a good church right now that is looking for a full-time pastor. Man, I love the people of Soda. It is a community, but outside of Livingston.
Okay.
Interestingly, right near one of the two Indian reservations here in Texas. Wow. So they're right beside the Alabama Coushatta Reservation, I believe, and I think have historically had members who come from the reservation there. But man, this is a healthy church, healthy church in need of a pastor. Calvary Baptist in Ennis is a small congregation in Ennis that is looking for a pastor, a bivocational pastor. Davis Street Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs is a wonderful church. I think we're all fans of their interim pastor right now. Brother Robbie Caldwell is there at Davis Street working. Brother Robbie probably is ready to get on another cruise ship, so he's really hoping they find a pastor before long. But he does love the people of Davis Street Baptist. I see Zion Hill Jasper here, you know, is looking for a pastor. This is a sweet congregation down in Jasper in southeast Texas, right on the edge of Lake Sam Rayburn in the Big O Woods. That is a hunting and fishing paradise.
There you go.
Come on.
It's, come on.
let's see. Crossroads Baptist Church in Winsboro is looking for a pastor. They're right on Winsboro Lake, actually. They're outside of Winsboro. I love this bunch of people. Man, some dear friends there. I'm from the town of Winsboro. I have preached and led singing at revivals. And let me just say, I rate churches often based on their homemade ice cream fellowships.
Mm.
And if I'm going to rate a church by homemade ice cream fellowship, Crossroads Baptist Church is the number one church.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
So I get upset today if they don't call me when they're having ice cream fellowship revival. But this is a sweet church. These churches are needing pastors. Lake Ridge Lubbock is looking for a
Which is not on the lake, by the way.
No, Lake Ridge Country Club. They're on the edge of Lake Ridge
the Country Club. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's a little deceiving. No lake involved
it's
in
West
Lake
Texas,
Ridge.
Man.
Yeah,
come on, we're in the desert, man.
No lakes.
They're looking for a youth pastor. First Baptist Palmer is looking for a youth pastor right now, and Fifth Street Levelland is looking for a youth pastor. So, man, we just wanted to highlight these this time and say some wonderful churches, wonderful opportunities.
And you know, like I say, I mean, it's. We'd love for guys within the BMA to come and fill these positions. And, so, all right. Well, that kind of brings us close to the end here, but we're getting to, we got one more big article to look at, and that is the auxiliaries. And so, WMA.
One more after that.
And then.
WMA, their state meeting schedule is in here.
Yes.
And what we know of the WMA is, man, they're planning one big birthday bash.
Absolutely, so I heard that.
It is not only the BMA of Texas's 125th, it's the BMA of Texas Mission Department's 125th. It is also the WMA's 125th. In the 1901 meeting, they organized the Women's Missionary Auxiliary right beside the BMA of Texas Association. And, man, these ladies are going to celebrate their 125th. I think they're throwing quite the party. We all need to slip upstairs for what's going to be food and cupcakes and big celebration of their 125th birthday party.
Absolutely. It's going to be good.
Excited for them.
They talk a lot about in here. Just Cindy Allen, the WMA president, you know, she talks about, their faithfulness with the funds. Of that they raise so many, and we talk about this every time we talk about the WMA and how important they are to so many ministries. You know, they adopt a ministry every year, somebody's ministry, and they raise funds throughout the year to bless these ministries. And they're within like $3,000 as of the report now. I mean, right now they're within $3,000 of their goal for the Texas Baptist Home for Children, and so. So they're getting close, but
it's so awesome.
It's such an important ministry, and to get the ladies involved. And one of the things that that we talked about last month with Diana was that she shared was that even if you don't have technically quote unquote a WMA ministry in your church, if you have a ladies ministry, they're welcome to come to the WMA meetings. That they want them to bear for the state meeting to come and join a fellowship. That doesn't have to be, technically a WMA. If you have a women's ministry of any kind, that come, bring them to the WMA meeting, meet these ladies. Again, realize that you're not part, you're part of something much bigger than yourself.
And just to add to that, in the state meeting, it's going to be translation too.
Absolutely, yes.
They're going to have Spanish breakout.
And also they're going to have a Spanish breakout. I think my wife Wendy was telling me that they're probably going to invite somebody from Houston to speak.
Wow. Yeah, cool.
Great. And so, but something also that, we have been working out is right now, and I don't know if some of you know that, but now we have two groups of WMA associations, then they have meet.
Yep.
The East Texas has developed their own WMA.
Yeah, it's
big. They have done two conferences in East Texas this year.
Yes.
And here in Dallas too.
Awesome.
And so with the purpose of promoting missions, So in our context, we don't have clear really, okay, ladies get together for different reasons, which is fine, And so, but we have always been amazed, the WMA, and not only here in Texas again, but they have helped so much, again, in missions.
Absolutely.
To build hospitals, to support missionaries. Mm-hmm. And so we continue to share this with the ladies, and they already start to build fund, to help local missionaries.
That's awesome.
And so, and for them to take ownership, and with the end to develop their own WMA ministry at their church, And so it has been wonderful, really, seeing these WMA groups. Which again, if you don't speak English, you can come.
Absolutely.
You will understand.
Absolutely. We'll get to take
even
care
if
of.
You're hearing this in English, but if you want to listen in Spanish, you can come.
Spanish, bring it on.
Use the headphones,
There you go. Come on. All right. Yes. And that brings us to definitely not last, but not least, you know, our United Thanksgiving offering this year. This year, it's going to be in honor of Mrs. Sandra Crank, and we're just a really special lady. We also want to celebrate, you know, before we get started, that this article was written by Emily Simpson, and so
it's her first contribution.
First contribution to the Progress, and hopefully we'll have many, many more from her. But yeah. Did a wonderful job writing this, and so it's super excited to see, you know, her conversation with Tammy Wood, mm-hmm. Which is Miss Crank's daughter, and so just a beautiful story of the kind of lady she was. And you knew Miss Crank from your time, I guess, at the college.
I did, and we have a history of making a memorial of United Thanksgiving offering. You know, it's always, well, historically it's been maybe an officer or a director who's passed. Mm-hmm. I think this is the first United Thanksgiving offering that's been that's ever been dedicated to a lady in the BMA. And, you know, Dr. Crank was so many years faithful at Jacksonville College.
Yes.
Ms. Crank was beside him, engaged in campus life just as many, and played, such an important role in student life at Jacksonville College. Yeah, I knew her so well. I was a student there. Ms. Crank was just the student body encourager. I mean, if you needed a hug, a laugh, and a kind, encouraging word, and every young college student did, then you went to Mrs. Crank's office. And every time I ever walked down there, two or three other students was sitting on her couch. And Ms. Crank had plenty to do, I'm sure, but she always made the time for the students who hung out with her. Mm-hmm. And she encouraged. She mattered to the life of that college so much in her time there, in her own special role, just faithful to her own gifting.
Yeah.
And I love that it's brought out in this article, and I didn't know it, but just how much marriage counseling she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all went to Jacksonville College. Those of us who went there, so many of us got married in relationships while there.
Yeah.
And so to know how much she poured into young couples from that same office space was something that I'm not surprised at. And I find such a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't know personally, but man, I love the article. Loved, you know, the fact that we get to celebrate someone, like I say, not necessarily who had a direct ministry. And this kind of goes along with kind of what we've been trying to highlight is that so many of us have a role to play. And it may not be directly, you know, a position, a staff position or somewhere else, but man, God puts us in places that we can impact people for Christ. And we're called to be faithful where God plants us. And you're just reading this story and understanding that she just seized every opportunity where she was to make the most of making disciples in the ways that she knew how and could, and was used of God in mighty ways. And like you say, not just individual students' lives, but in couples.
Yes.
And, you know, who knows the impact? I mean, this side of heaven, we won't know. But, I mean,
yes.
But again, this gives us an opportunity to honor her. The United Thanksgiving offering, which will be taken up on November 23rd of this year, that Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday, that we just challenge everybody to give. I mean, in honor of her and her legacy, but also, you know, this is an important important offering for us as a PMA departments. How does that get broken up? I mean, can you tell us how important this is?
Yeah, you know, United Thanksgiving offering every year is taken traditionally on the Sunday on the Sunday of Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I believe. It's on the dates on here. Is it
23rd.
After or before?
Yeah.
It's before, right?
Okay.
On Sunday the 23rd. And so typically most churches that Sunday, the whole plate offering is given to, in a special way, to the BMA of Texas, and is divided upon the ministries of the BMA of Texas equally. This is the big fundraiser. It's the only fundraiser every year, special fundraiser for Texas missions. And it is the big BMAF Texas fundraiser. And it does matter so much. It matters to the budget and to the ministry needs yes. of each of these departments. And so, yeah, we ask you to participate. And this year, give something special in honor of a special lady yes. who used her gifts in a way that had such impact upon the BMA of, upon the BMAF Texas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just adding to what you're saying about that article, again, we don't knew Miss Crank personally, but you know how important it is for us to use, you know, people matter, you know, and yes. you know, I think she encouraged you when you were a student, right?
She
and,
did.
You know, and so we don't have the idea how much or sometimes a smile, a blessing Absolutely. Can go in the long way. So Amen. I think, you know, that again talks a lot about our character as Christians, you Absolutely. Know, and so I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I mean, God wants to use us, and that is the call, to be used right Amen. Where we're at. And so, again, well, that's a wrap, man. Any last thoughts from you guys?
Well, you know, again, you know, I was going to mention again the meeting, United yeah. States meeting, 17-18, you know.
Yeah.
English, Spanish.
And celebrate a 125-year-old BMA Oof, that man. Is thriving at the moment. We
Absolutely.
Just
Amen.
Like, man, we praise the Lord.
Absolutely. Amen.
A faithful
is,
God. A
absolutely.
Faithful God.
He is a God and the God of the details. And,
yes.
you know, he's been using the BMA for 125 years. And I pray for 125 more. Let's see,
yes,
it, man. Let's
yes.
see God do a great work. And it's exciting to be Amen. A part of something, you know, Amen. Like this. To be able to look back and realize how far God's brought us.
Amen.
And yet to know, man, it's... He's got so much more in store for us to do, and I look forward to that. Look forward, thankful for a chance to serve with you guys, man. It's always a blast, and I love what we get to do and be a part of God's work here at BMA Texas. So, thank you guys for watching, and so we'll see you guys next month. God bless you guys. Be faithful. So you can cut that. Okay, Elvis, next time. So that's a blooper.
You can't pull cut that.
Yes.
This is always the worst part for me.
Yes. So.